From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Tenderloin District.
La Mission.
The Mission District.
Noe Valley.
I live in Silver Terrace.
Coming up, we'll hear how the Affordable Care Act caused the cancellation of millions of insurance plans and why.
The nature of health insurance is such that rates increase every year and benefits generally decrease every year. That's healthcare.
Then we learn how to make a joyful noise with the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir.
You have people that don't really profess any faith, but they all feel something when they hear the music.
And we visit a neighborhood mainstay built around the world's best turkey sandwich.
So I've been coming here probably like 25 years, just to come back here for that particular sandwich.
We've got plenty in store for you today on Cross Currents. Millions of Americans have received letters from insurance companies in the last few months canceling their health plans. It's part of the transition to the Affordable Care Act, and it's sparked anger and confusion. President Obama has been trying to address the concerns. Last month, he said this.
Virtually every insurer is offering new, better plans and competing for these folks' business. I realize that can be scary for people if they just get some notice like that. So we've got to make sure that we're getting them the right information.
So what is the right information? Well, it's important to note that the new law will mostly affect just a portion of Americans who buy their own insurance. In California, that's just over 2 million people. About a million received letters canceling their health plans. The ACA requires that all insurance plans offer essential benefits like emergency services, maternity care, mental health, prescription drugs, and these plans don't comply. So many people are being forced to buy insurance with higher monthly premiums. And it's not just an increase in benefits that's causing the costs to rise. Here at KALW, our very own reporter Daniel Moore received a letter canceling his insurance with Blue Shield. Since then, he's spent a lot of time thinking about what's happening.
Here it is. My cancellation letter from Blue Shield. It's 17 pages long, and it's printed with graphs and pie charts and, most importantly, a table. The table compares my old insurance plan, that's the one that's being canceled, with a new plan recommended by Blue Shield. I'll admit it, I was upset when I got this letter. The new plan is more expensive, and I thought my old insurance was pretty good. It's got no deductible, and I pay about $260 a month.
Yeah, I would say this is a great plan.
Carolyn Kim is an insurance broker in San Francisco. These days, she's busy advising a lot of people just like me. She says healthcare reform happened because a lot of people couldn't get insurance, or they had inadequate coverage, or they were simply paying more than they could afford.
Most people these days are on plans with a deductible. As the cost of insurance has gone up, most people decide to choose a higher deductible plan to bring their rates down. So it looks like you actually have a plan without a deductible. So I think that's a great plan.
Me too. But the new plan Blue Shield is recommending has a deductible of $4,500 a year. And it costs $26 more a month. That's their cheapest plan.
The plan that they are suggesting for you is definitely a downgrade.
If I want what I've got now, with no deductible, I'll have to pay at least $150 more a month. Now, I don't want to overwhelm you with numbers, but that's 60% more than I'm paying right now. So yeah, I'd rather keep my old insurance.
If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan.
If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep it. If you want to keep the health insurance you got, you can keep it.
Well, actually, I can't. So what exactly is behind the hike in health insurance premiums?
What this plan will do is make the insurance you have work better for you. Under this plan, it will be against the law for insurance companies to deny you coverage because of a pre-existing condition.
That's one of the cornerstones of the Affordable Care Act. Estimates vary, but somewhere between 20 and 50% of Americans have a pre-existing condition.
When you purchased your insurance, you went through medical underwriting, you answered pages of questions about your health.
That's Susan Chargell. She's been an insurance broker in San Francisco for 24 years.
And the insurance company had an opportunity to say, No, thank you. We actually would not like to approve your insurance. Or you sure we'll take you on as a client, but we'll charge you 50% more.
I remember that paperwork. It was exhausting. I was healthy and Blue Shield decided to insure me, but Blue Shield denied a lot of sick people based on their answers to those questions. That made healthcare costs cheaper for me, but more expensive for people who were denied coverage. Carolyn Kim says that paperwork is gone.
So in 2014, there are no health questions asked anymore. That means no coverage is based on pre-existing conditions. So basically, everyone has to be accepted. That really drives up the cost of covering people, covering those unhealthy people.
It feels like a moral question. Am I willing to pay a higher premium to help sick people get insurance? Yeah, I am. The point of health insurance is to help people when they're sick. So why exclude people who are already sick? I wouldn't want to be denied coverage for pre-existing conditions. But Kim says it's definitely driving up rates.
The other thing that's really having an impact on rates is the new rate ratio.
A rate ratio. That's a new idea for me.
In 2013 and before the Affordable Care Act was implemented, rates really from age 21 to 64 were a very steep slope.
And older Americans paid a lot more for health insurance than younger Americans like me.
So between age 21 to 64, you might have seen more of a 6-to-1 or 7-to-1 ratio.
The Affordable Care Act has a 3-to-1 ratio. Older adults will pay no more than 3 times what younger adults pay. When I'm older, I'll pay less. But right now, I'm stuck paying more. So this has all been bad news for my budget. But Susan Chargell reminds me about the part of the Affordable Care Act that could make it more affordable for people like me.
If your income is 400% of federal poverty level or below, you'll get premium assistance.
For a single person, that income cap is about $46,000. It's a cutoff that excludes many middle-class Americans, like me. But if I were to get sick and couldn't work, then I would qualify for assistance. So it's a safety net for everybody. Insurance companies are finding ways to keep premiums down, too.
There's a few ways that insurers are able to bring down cost. One of them is to reduce the size of their networks. And so that's why a lot of the networks are reducing, and that's why people really need to make sure that their doctors are going to be covered in 2014 on these new plans.
But that's not what President Obama promised when he was lobbying for the Affordable Care Act.
I know that there are millions of Americans who are content with their health care coverage. They like their plan, and most importantly, they value their relationship with their doctor. They trust you. And that means that no matter how we reform health care, we will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor. Period.
Not necessarily.
Specifically, UCSF and the doctors who are associated with UCSF are not in your network now.
On my old plan, I could go to UCSF. But come January, I won't be able to. I asked Blue Shield why it wouldn't let me go to one of the best hospital systems in the country. And in an email, a rep said this.
Many of our network hospitals and physicians came to the table and chose to participate in the new IFP network, accepting discounted rates in return for access to an expanded patient population in 2014. The University of California chose not to participate in the new high-value network at this time.
In other words, Blue Shield and UCSF couldn't agree on a price.
So that's a huge loss for you.
So now I know some of the reasons why my health insurance premium is going up. There's the end of pre-existing conditions and the 3-to-1 rule. But I also know that if it weren't for smaller networks and government assistance, the prices could be even higher.
The nature of health insurance is such that rates increase every year and benefits generally decrease every year. That's healthcare.
Again, insurance broker Carolyn Kim.
The intention of the Affordable Care Act was really to make prices more affordable. Whether that's happening or not is up to, you know, a lot of analysis, and we'll see, you know, different people's rates are skyrocketing. Some people's are staying the same. Some people are getting a little bit of a price break. It really depends on who you are.
I'll admit it. I was mad when I got this letter. This paper that says Blue Shield is canceling my policy and how much it was going to cost me to get similar insurance. The reality is that there's been a huge redistribution of risk. We're all paying different shares than we used to. The young, the old, the sick, the healthy, the government, and the individual. Suddenly, we're all facing something closer to the true cost of healthcare. And it's a reality check. For Cross Currents, I'm Daniel Moore.
We'd like to hear your thoughts about the Affordable Care Act. Has your health insurance situation gotten better or worse? Or is it about the same? Call us and leave your message at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106, and you may hear your story on the air. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. The short days and long, cold nights we're experiencing right now are one way we know it's December. And then there's this sound. Mary's Those are the voices of the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir. Now in its 28th year, the choir brings together singers from all faiths and all walks of life to sing songs inspired by Oakland's vibrant Black gospel tradition. And every December, they bring their music to venues in Oakland and San Francisco. The force behind this powerful sound is the choir's artistic director, Terrence Kelly. KALW's Julie Kane met up with him to learn about what keeps the choir's spirit alive.
And make sure you keep up on the tempo. Not too loud, breathe.
You have Jewish, Catholic, Baptist, Unitarian, Baha'i, Sufi, Buddhist, Hindu. You have people that don't really profess any faith, but they all feel something when they hear the music. So we are able to drop our differences and come together with our commonalities and sing gospel music as the medium for doing that.
That you think people feel? What is the spirit that they're feeling when they're singing gospel music or listening to gospel music?
J-O-Y, joy. that's it, clean and simple. Especially in a choir. In a choir, it's a much safer way to bear all. You can let it all hang out, and then there are 49 other people letting it hang out, so you're not the only one.
So if you have, let's say you have a Sufi member of your choir, a Jewish member of your choir, they're still singing about Jesus. It's still really the lyrics of Christian gospel, right?
Yes. But what our members do, we also ask our audience to do if they're not Christian. When we say Jesus or Christ, just mentally insert the name of your own God and keep partying. So, you know, it's really about creating community. And I think all of the great teachers, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, all of them, you know, wanted you to open up to everybody. It's not about being closed, but it's about being open.
Stand here, breathing.
Oakland is one of the most gospel-rich cities in the country. A lot of African-Americans came from the South to work the railroads and to work here in the port. My grandparents. So then you had all these Southern people, Texans, my family, Louisianans, Mississippians, you know, all these people came with all of that music in them, and it started pouring out into Oakland. I mean, you can literally walk down East 14th in Oakland, or International in Oakland. I was walking past the church one day and just heard this gospel music coming out of this church. I knew it was just packed. There were 12 people in the church, 8 of which were in the choir. And it was going down. I mean, they were tearing it up. It was awesome. And I just stood in the door and just watched. You know, they invited me in and I just went on in. It was great. And that's Oakland all over the place.
So, what does it take to be a member of the main choir?
Of the gospel choir, the audition is about 5 minutes. About 3 minutes of a song. And then there's a ear test, because most of our music is learned in the African-American tradition, which is oral. So I'll sing the part, or one of the musicians will play the part, and then the members sing it back.
Curious about how you learned. You've been singing all of your life. When did you start singing?
I don't remember. From a musical family, my father was the late great Ed Kelly, jazz pianist and awesome teacher at Laney College. And my mom also taught at Laney College. She for many years directed the gospel choir there, and she was also choir director for famed youth choirs and other choirs at the Allen Temple Baptist Church.
You got to know your part. You got to know your counts, because they move separately from you. We don't sing everything exactly the same in this choir. We have 9-12 parts sometimes.
I've heard that you're actually very demanding of your choir members, but you're so funny. I mean, you must be very entertaining while you're being demanding.
We have a lot of fun. They call me, I think I'm a big goofball. They say that I'm goofy, but, you know, tough.
All first hitters, we doing solos, baby, and I can stand here all night. Let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Is it okay to go to church if you're not a churchgoer?
Please do. Please do. Just don't wear hot pants.
You can see the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir, Youth Choir, and Community Choir all this Saturday at the Paramount Theater in Oakland. Show starts at 7:30. To find out more, head to our website, kalw.org, and click on Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Now, people get in the spirit in all kinds of ways. When KALW producer Casey Miner moved to San Francisco's Inner Richmond last year, she found a lot of things to like. But when she started telling people exactly where she lived, she kept hearing one thing.
The turkey sandwiches. You have to try the place with the turkey sandwiches.
Now, a lot of you probably still have turkey leftovers in your fridge, and a turkey sandwich might be the last thing you actually want. But if you do want one, you can go to this little shop, the Arguello Market, which advertises its sandwiches as the world's best. The market is right down the street from where Casey lives. Here's a story about the community she found when she met her new neighbors at the corner store.
Okay, full disclosure, I almost couldn't do this story because I was too afraid of this man.
I do everything here. I answer phone, I order produce, I order milk, I see the coolers, I see the store, I make a sandwich, I do everything.
This is Roy, Roy Ortiz. He's the manager at the Arguello Market. He's there basically every day, and he's actually a really nice guy. But God help you if you do anything to mess with his store. Right after my boyfriend and I moved into our apartment, we did that thing where you put some stuff you don't want out on the sidewalk so other people can take it away. We were parked in front of the market, so that's where we put an old toaster. Big mistake. Roy was out of the store before we'd taken our hands off of it, telling us we couldn't put it there, couldn't put our trash there. We were mortified. We moved the toaster.
But anyway, the point is that he has eyes in the back of his head like Sal. He sees everything.
This is Joan Meehan. She teaches English at City College and has lived in this neighborhood for 25 years. She told me Roy's observant eyes have helped her out in the past.
A few weeks ago, didn't I leave $200 in the ATM machine? And, you know, I didn't miss it. My nephews were coming. And I said to myself, I thought I had more money than this when I looked in my wallet. And Roy, we go down and Roy gives it to me a few days later.
Joan told me the ATM story because she says Roy pays attention to every person who comes into the store, what they need and whether they're misbehaving, but also how they're doing, how their families are.
A lot of old people, you know, come in this area. Some people pass away, some people life, some people sick, but it's life.
It's life, he says. And at the Arguello Market, a lot of that life happens through food. For example, Roy knows people by what they usually order for lunch.
Nice guy. The name is Teodoro.
Teodoro passed away. Roy still remembers his order.
Every day come here for isala, green salad. He like put olive oil and green bean and soup.
Rodney Bagwell is a turkey sandwich. He's lived in the city his whole life and within a few blocks of the store for 30 years.
You know, and I want to represent, you know, as far as this store, because I was raised here when I was a kid. So I come down here every day.
There's one of my customers, I call him my bodyguard, Rodney. And he was here when I came over here. It's my buddy, you know.
That's Sal Kakunda. He owns the Arguello Market. He's from Palestine. He came to the U.S. when he was a teenager, and he got into the grocery business pretty quickly, working at a Ralph's in Southern California.
I came on a Tuesday. Actually, it was in May 1969. And by Friday, I had a job.
He moved to San Francisco in 1975, bought the market in 1984. It was a different place back then.
And it was so bad. It was, the shelving was something out of a 1945 era.
Most of the refrigerators didn't work.
The lighting wasn't there. There were some extension cords with light bulbs in certain areas. The area we're sitting in right now over here, there would be light bulbs with extension cords running. And I don't understand how they functioned like that.
Like hanging down from the ceiling?
Hanging down from the ceiling is exactly what it was.
Today, the market's bright and open, with skylights, big windows, colorful items neatly arranged.
There were lots of longtime customers, and I still have those customers. And many of them are dear friends of mine, because, you know, it becomes like it's a family-oriented.
30 years?
30 years. She's been coming here for 30 years.
Once I started doing this story, I started seeing some of the regulars around the neighborhood. I ran into Rodney while walking to my car one day. He actually stopped in the middle of the road and yelled my name. And I saw Joan chatting with the PG&E guys who've been working on the street for months. When I go into the market, Roy smiles and even waves. It makes me really excited when this happens. Now, I know we said at the beginning that this place was about more than a turkey sandwich. But I'll tell you what, that turkey sandwich sure brings a lot of people together. Here's, honest to God, what three people in a row said when I went to ask about their lunch orders the other day.
Can I get the fresh roast turkey sandwich?
Yeah, can I get a turkey sandwich on Dutch crunch?
Oh, so I've been coming here probably like 25 years just to come back here for that particular sandwich.
Who am I to argue with that? If we are what we eat, then I am now an official resident of the inner Richmond.
Can I get a roasted turkey with everything and avocado, please?
At the Arguello Market, I'm Casey Miner for Cross Currents.
A big tender turkey, fresh fruits and vegetables,
cakes and pies, light up your family's eyes.
All the trimmings and more when you shop for your holiday dinner at our store.
What's your favorite neighborhood treasure? Tell us a story about it on our tip line, 415-264-7106. And that does it for today's Cross Currents from KELW News. Today's team includes Leela Day. Happy birthday, Leela. Audrey Dilling, Maya DePaola Hanica, Laura Flynn, Nina Gensler Debs, Angela Johnston, Linda Jew, Christina Loring, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Ryan Miller, Seth Samuel, Stephen Short, and Todd Whitney. Today's show was produced by Julie Kane and engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Martina Castro is our senior producer. Our executive editor is Ben Trefney. Holly Kernan is our news director. This music is by the Nightingale Trio. They're having a show on Saturday at the Red Rock Cafe House on Castro Street in Mountain View. They'll be starting at 8:30. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.